Our scripture today is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Let's pray before we read. We thank you, Lord, for this word which you've freely given to us. We ask you this day that our hearts, our minds, our spirits are open to receive what it is that you have for us. Help us to hear your word as you desire us to, and use your word in our lives as you call us to. We pray also, Lord, for your mercy, not only on the hearing, but also on the speaking. May the sermon, too, be used for your glory. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Hear now God's word. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace through God, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have attained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today's Trinity Sunday. And as we focus on the Trinity in the children's sermon, we're going to do the same today. It's one of those opportunities. The liturgical calendar is helpful in that it points to things that it wants us to remember, wants us to know throughout the year. And my 20 years of pulpit ministry, I've finally come to be okay with that. You know, sometimes I hate repeating sermons over and over again, but sometimes we need to hear things over and over again to be reminded of them. Stephanie tells me that she loves me, not just once in my life, but I like to hear it daily. It's, again, that reminder is helpful. So, Trinity Sunday. Now, the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we described to the kids today, is difficult to just describe. The Muslim, Christians, and the Jewish faiths all have one thing in common. We have a few things in common. One of the things we're common is that we are religions of one book. Now that one book is different. For us, it's the Bible. For the Jews, it's the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. And for the Muslims, it's the Quran. Now, we also have something else in common. We all believe in one God, right? For us and the Jews, it's God. For the Muslims, it's Allah, translated God. Now, the thing is that the Muslims and the Jews don't always believe that we believe in one God. They sometimes believe we believe in three gods. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This Trinity thing can be confusing. And so it's a good time for us to take a look at it again. Now, how many times is Trinity mentioned in the Bible? And is it mentioned more in the Old Testament or more in the New Testament? The word Trinity, how often is it used, and is it used more in the Old or the New? Never. That's right. It's never used in the Bible at all. Trinity is a made-up word that Christians have made up in order to explain something that we have difficulty explaining. And this is why we got to go over Trinity every year, because it's clear as mud on occasion. But Trinity, the concept, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, is seen in the Bible at least twice. Can you think of when it's seen in the Bible at least twice? One in the Old Testament I'm thinking of, and one in the New. Jesus' baptism. That's the one. The God the Father spoke to Jesus out of the heavens This is my Son, whom I am loved, and who I am well pleased. Listen to something along those lines. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as a dove. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all right there in one neat picture. In John chapter 1, we have a verse called, it goes something like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. So let's go to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. I should get my Bible. Thank you. All right, where's Genesis again? It's in the beginning. Page 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." So if John chapter 1, verse 1 is true, and we believe it is, the Word of God made flesh is Jesus Christ. Christ was with God in the beginning as the Word of God. And so what we have in this instance in Genesis is God, the Creator, 1. We have the Holy Spirit sweeping over the water, 2. And then we have God speaking the Word of God, who is Christ. Again, the Trinity. Trinity is something that, again, is in this rendition of the Celtic knot, is something that is central to our United Methodist beliefs. And not even just United Methodist beliefs, but the Trinity is central to our Christian beliefs. I'm going to have you each turn into your hymnal, if you will, please. It's in front of you. Red book. Page 881. Who knows what's on page 881 without even looking? Apostles' Creed. I know this is... Did I hear it's someone's birthday today? No? No one's birthday? Someone just had a birthday? Anyway, this is my birthday gift to you. Les is always asking me about the Apostles' Creed. And I agree, we don't do it as often as we should. We're going to do it today. So page 881. Those of you who are online, you can Google it, the Apostles' Creed, the traditional version, and it'll come up for you there too. All right, I'll give those on Zoom just a moment if they want to take a look at that. And we're going to recite this together. So, 881. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Apostles' Creed, if anyone asks you, what do you believe as a Christian? You can quote them this. They may be bored and tuned out by the time you get to the end of it, but this is what we believe as Christians. This is our core. This is our foundation. It didn't come until later in the church. I can't remember when I quoted this before. I think it was like 200 or 300 AD, something like the Apostles' Creed started coming out. And it was a way to have all the churches be on the same page. Early Christians were asked all the time, what do you believe? And different things were popped out. This helped centralize everything. And you notice in the midst of this, it in itself is in Trinitarian format. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. As Christians, Trinity is at the center of who we are and what we believe. Trinity in and of itself, though, is a difficult concept. What we believe in Trinity is that God is one, but three different parts. The Father, the one who created, the center of it all, if you will. Jesus, who died upon the cross. And then you can stop me there and say, whoa. If Jesus is God, how can Jesus die? Then wouldn't God die? And how can God die? Because God is forever and you can't kill God. You see where we start getting into some issues. Elijah and Muhammad were talking on the way to the airport this morning, and I don't know what they were talking about, but they were on the J's. I don't know how they got on the J's or what even being on the J's mean. But on the J's, they mentioned Jesus. And Muhammad said, Jesus for you is God and for Muslims is prophet. And that's true. Jesus for us is God and for Muslims prophet. For Jesus for us is not only God, but also fully human. Completely human and completely God. How can that be? Go to seminary and read the myriad of texts written by theologians from the early church, 200, 300, 400, all the way up to today. There's so many papers on it and so many different beliefs that people have been killed over. It's not something that I can explain to you today or even honestly fully help you understand ever. Maybe I trust the Holy Spirit in these things. The thing is that trying to explain so that you can completely understand what Trinity is and how Trinity functions, it's tough. It's one of those things in our lives where, one of the many, where we know by faith. We see in the Bible in so many different places where God functions in different ways, as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. Trinity is only a way for us Christians to try to encapsulate that. And the reason we want to encapsulate that is because it's important. What does Trinity mean to us? Why is Trinity important to us? Well, this is why. In our scripture today, in Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace through God, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, two heads of the Trinity, through whom we have attained access to His grace, in which we stand and we boast in our hope to sharing the glory of God. And then not only do we boast in that, but also in the afflictions, knowing affliction produces endurance, endurance is character, character hope. Hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Why does Trinity matter? Because it explains a God who's got this. A God who does not just operate in one area of life, but a God who operates in every area of life. Christians want to explain that God is active not only during creation, but is active at this very moment. In order to try and properly explain this, we look at Scripture and we see a God who was there in creation and who gave us His Holy Spirit. And through that Holy Spirit, we see God's activity today. We see through the Bible a God who loves us, but a people who sin. And God did a different function and sacrificed part of God's self so that we may be able to approach God. Trinity is a way to explain that God is working on our behalf. We may not completely understand it. We may not ever completely understand it. Someone might come to you trying to pick at your faith and say, I hear you believe in three gods, not just one. Tell me about that. And you may be at a loss for words. Don't want to lead the person astray. There are truly some things that we trust God who loves us completely in. There's this, I mentioned this before because it's one of my favorite illustrations of all times, and I really need to find it and put it on my computer. It's a small clip from a cartoon in the 1990s, God the Bob and the Devil. God the Bob and Satan. God the Bob and the Devil. I don't know, can't remember the title, but something like that. Anyone ever watch it? Mid to late 1980s, churches of that time petitioned and protested the show and eventually got pulled off. Only had one season. There's a scene in it where Bob, who is kind of the new Noah, it's on his shoulders whether the world's going to be destroyed or not, right? So he's driving his car and God pops up beside him and they start talking. James Gardner is the voice of God. And they start talking and Bob says to God, God, I have a problem with you. And that problem is that there's so much evil in the world and you say you're loving. What's going on here? And God responds to Bob and says, he says, I love you humans. You're so passionate about different things and you're way passionate about this topic. He says, you're not supposed to know this until you die, but I'll tell you now. And God starts telling Bob about why there's evil in the world and why he's a God of love and how that works. And as he's talking, a train rolls through and you can't hear a single word of what's going on. As the train passes, Bob looks at God with this surprised look on his face and says, well, when you explain it like that, I understand it completely. And I really think that there are things in our lives like Trinity that we may not understand completely now, but we will. Because we can be sure of that we have a God of love. And that though God's working behind the scenes and we may not understand everything, God is working. Holy Trinity, as we celebrate it in our church today, is so important to the church and to us as individuals and to those who are in this world because it reminds us that God is there in every area of our lives. When I was in Jumonville as a camp counselor, we got access to the buildings any time of the day that we wanted. And there's a chapel at Jumonville. Anyone been in that chapel? Cute chapel, very simple, not very big, maybe the size of this sanctuary. It's, again, not very big, long, like rectangle, you know, moxie. And I went in there by myself, and I was going through some rough things in my life at the time, and I stood in the front of the church, and I looked up at God, and I said, where are you? I have no idea where you are. I can't feel you in my life. I'm going through some rough stuff, and I feel alone. I don't understand why you're doing this. I don't understand why this is happening to me. Lord, I just need something. I can't say that God answered me in those moments. Can't say I left that church feeling heard. But as I look back, I know that I was. I know it wasn't me who went, it wasn't God that went anywhere. And it was me who did the looking in other places. Because I trust Scripture and I trust the life that I live and the experience that I live, that God has blessed me in so many ways. God has been there all the time. In the way that only God could. Footprints in the sand, it expresses it. I look back at those times and I only see one set of footprints and God says, that's the time I was carrying you. You know, those times where we don't think God is there. But Trinity reminds us that God is. What we try to explain on this Sunday is that God's presence and activity is all encompassing. That though we may feel them, Christ is with us. Though we may be going through difficult times, we are not alone in that. Though our life might feel like it's falling apart. We can rejoice over affliction because of the endurance, the character, and the hope that it breeds, because Christ is with us through the Holy Spirit. Trinity doesn't mean we're going to have smooth sailing. Trinity doesn't mean that we're going to be able to get it all right all the time. Trinity doesn't even mean that we're going to know that God's there and feel God's comfort all the time. But Trinity does mean that God is there all the time, whether we remember it or not. And I thank God that God gives us the grace to be able to look back at those moments and to see just how God was working, though we couldn't see in that time. And one of the greatest gifts that we've been given through Trinity has been one another. For we can remind each other of this, support each other in this, tell each other when we're going through tough times, even if we don't want to hear it, you're not alone. For Christ is with you, and I am with you. It may not seem like much in the moment, but it's the blessings that Christ has given to us. We can be thankful for that. Close with this benediction today. For God, it is true that no eye has seen nor ear has heard what wonderful things you hold in store for your children. Yet in these moments with you, we have seen more clearly and listened more deeply. We give you thanks. Amen and amen. Go in peace.